And when it gets to a certain point, she removes herself from the situation. And in this one, she moved from the kitchen to the bedroom. Well, I'm the anxious pursuer. So I go running after my wife, and we're going to deal with this now in the privacy of our bedroom. But she's running and I'm chasing.
Yeah.
And the more intensity I brought, the more she would disengage.
You're listening to the Famous at Home podcast with Dr. Josh and Christy Straub, the podcast formerly known as In This Together.
Kind of like Prince, but not.
We're now in this together, helping you be famous at home so you can thrive on your stage.
Every one of us has a stage, and no matter the stage we show up on, we all feel the stress of work, travel, and just plain busyness. Unfortunately, it's our loved ones under our own roof who often get our leftovers.
But what if we didn't have to choose between work and our family? Research shows the more connected we are to our spouse and kids, the more influence
and fun
we have on our respective stage.
So when your tires hit that driveway, keep in mind, the greatest red carpet you'll ever walk is through your front door.
You are famous. Welcome back to the Famous at Home podcast. Last week, we had a great conversation with Jeff and Beth McCord from Your Enneagram Coach as we are going through the 7 core decisions to becoming famous at home. And we are talking about marriage and the marital relationship. And the Enneagram has done so much for Josh and I to understand who we are and who one another is, our underlying motivations, why we do think and act the way we do. And so we wanted to bring them back because we got to do a broad brush sort of overview of the Enneagram for those of you who are maybe new to it last week. And so if you haven't heard that, I would highly encourage you to go back and listen to it. But this week we want to go and dig a little bit deeper and go into the marriage relationship, that specific dance between two people. And they talk about that, how Enneagram types typically have a dance. And it's as much as we think it's unique to us, It's actually very predictable if you know your Enneagram type. And this is, again, it's just a tool that has been helpful for us and many others. And so we wanted to have this tool provide for you as we are walking through the 7 core decisions. And so I would love for you to listen in on this conversation about the Enneagram and marriage with Jeff and Beth McCord.
Welcome back to the Famous at Home podcast. Last week, you heard from Jeff and Beth McCord from Your Enneagram Coach, and we had such an amazing conversation, and there's so much we can talk about. We just didn't want to leave that conversation hanging. So this week, we are talking about how to connect deeper with your spouse now that you may know your Enneagram type. And so what we want to do is we want to jump right in. First of all, Jeff and Beth, thank you for coming back.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
Yeah, glad to be with you again.
And so I'm gonna go ahead. You guys talk about, you have a new book out called Becoming Us, and we're gonna have that in show notes. We really want to encourage you to get that. But as part of that process, you guys talk about three secrets that really can speak into how we can connect and grow deeper and understand our spouse at a deeper level, and how the gospel speaks into that. I'd love for you to reveal, if you wouldn't mind, your 3 secrets. Can we reveal those today?
Let's see. It's a secret.
can our listeners get in on those secrets?
Yeah, we'd love to. So the first secret is that your spouse, no matter where they're at or they're doing well or not doing well, they ultimately aren't the thing that's going to bring you the satisfaction your heart craves. So we have a core longing that we all are longing to hear and to experience, and we're trying to get it from especially our spouses, but it could be kids and careers and all these things, and it's called our core longing. But what we want to recognize is that even if our spouse doesn't come towards us and participate in that way by saying it or representing this message, Christ already has and does. So Christ has satisfied your core longing. And we kind of went over the core longings in the last podcast, but I'll just tell you them real quickly so that those that know your type will know how that, oh, yeah, that is what I'm longing to hear. Oh, and Christ satisfies it. So type 1, they long to hear you are good. Type two longs to hear you are wanted and loved. Type three longs to hear you are loved for simply being you. Type four longs to hear you are seen and loved for exactly who you are, special and unique. Type fives long to hear your needs aren't a problem. Type sixes long to hear that you are safe and secure. Type sevens long to hear you will be taken care of. Type eights long to hear you will not be betrayed. And type nines long to hear your presence matters. And so each of us, these are really deep-seated longings that we are craving for the world to show us, but they just can't at the level we need it. But Christ does. And so anytime we see that the world or a spouse didn't come through for us in this way, usually we get upset and kind of we start to demand it, we start to judge, and we start to punish. But that's when we need to recognize, you know what? I'm trying to satisfy this core longing from the wrong source. Hmm. And you can come back to Christ and be filled up because he is the spring of living water who represents all of these things in and through us. And that is where true satisfaction lies.
So our core, so the core longing that we have, it's so fascinating to me how easy it is, especially when we don't even recognize it, how it is to go to our spouse to get that core longing met, and we're not even recognizing it. We're not even paying attention to the underlying emotions that are happening underneath that. And then you said, I think you used the words we judge, criticize, and maybe condemn. I can't remember the other word.
We have a desire. Jeff, who was the one that kind of coined this?
Ken Sandy with Peacemaker Ministries is the one who developed this idea of the progression of an idol. That is this disproportionate desire that we're seeking to meet at another person's expense. And so as a six that I long to be safe, I oftentimes would look to Beth to assure me that I'm safe. But anytime she'd actually move towards me or attempt to satisfy that in any way, I would go frustrated with her. And then she would then feel insufficient. She's not a good enough wife. Well, the reality is that she was never intended to be the one to bring safety to my heart. There's nothing in this world that was going to bring the safety for me. But then I recall the promise of Christ that in this world you'll face troubles of many kinds, but take heart, I've overcome the world. So the tension, the fear that I experience through my marriage actually becomes the very invitation from the Spirit to trust Christ, not to look to my spouse to fulfill it.
And, you know, when I first heard you say that, I went back to the early years of marriage, right? Or even pre-marriage, when you're like googly-eyed over your spouse and you're like, you know, you it's easy to outwardly think that they're going to save you. But then when we get into marriage and we start having children and, you know, you kind of, consciously, I think we lose that sense of you're my savior in the world, but we're not acting that way. We're acting as if you, and I hit that here. That's what you're saying, Jeff, is like we act as if, because we're trying to get our spouse to be the one to meet that deepest longing. And so it might not look the same as it did in the early years where it was like, you know, you complete me kind of mentality, right? Now it, you know, you might not, because marital satisfaction, and most of our listeners listening have young children, and you know we know marital satisfaction tends to decrease, you know, after you start having children, especially in those early years, and it's like so it doesn't look the same as you complete me, but it still looks that way in how we interact with one another is what I hear you saying. Like we're still looking and acting towards our spouse as you're going to be the one to complete me, you're going to be the one to save me, and I'm going to. And that's going to come out in certain ways to meet our deepest longings.
That's right. And what Beth was sharing earlier is that to be able to identify kind of the yellow flag, the warning signs that you are seeking for your spouse to satisfy something that only Christ can, is that it begins with a desire. But when you start to move to a demand, you must do this. And then the third one is to judge or criticize. So we start to criticize others in order to, really it's a cry for attunement to, like, do you hear me? Do you see me? are you able to help me? And then whenever they don't respond to criticism or our judgments, then we move to punishing. And that could mean withdrawing our presence. That could mean sarcasm, passive aggressive, all these strategies that we use as adults to try to get our spouse to respond to us in this longing.
And isn't it the weirdest, the gospel, like Josh literally just, he's like mouthed at me. He goes, "You do that to me." But isn't it true? I mean, the wacky ways that we basically are trying to get close to another person, and then the like, the twisted, like, you know, it just comes out sideways. And some of us, like I don't actually know which of the lists that you just said he was referring to, but I'm sure he'll tell me later, you know, but it's like, we're not even aware that that's our pattern. I mean, that's our dance. That's what we're trying to do.
And, and if I may, I do that to her too, but.
Oh, thank you. Thanks for clarifying. Yeah. Appreciate that.
Well, in seminary, I learned a funny phrase that grace works, but guilt and shame work faster. And it is this interesting dynamic that we're wanting a loving, safe relationship, but oftentimes we use strategies that are unloving in order to get it.
They work fast.
And it doesn't work.
They work faster, but they don't work in the long term.
That's true. Yeah. And it's more to be, it's sarcasm and a joke. I mean,
yeah,
the idea
is totally.
Like for my child, I want to love and attune and get them to obey. And I want to relate to them. But yet at the same time, I really just want them to stop putting their finger in the light socket.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. So this safety thing takes a lot longer, doesn't it? Being safe.
Yes.
So So this leads into, I think, secret number two, pretty clearly. Is that correct?
That's right. So secret number two is the idea there's four easy steps to move from conflict to connecting. And through the lens of the Enneagram and the gospel.
Wow.
And the idea, we call it the dance. And this is borrowed from emotion-focused therapy. And the idea that there's two parts to our dynamic relating as spouses. First, there's the content, what we're actually arguing about. But most couples realize is that it doesn't matter what the topic is. The relational pattern is the problem. We end up fighting the same way, no matter what the topic might be.
Hmm.
And that's more the relational process.
Yeah.
And so the Enneagram helps us to identify how we relate to people. And then when you put two Enneagram types together, there are specific patterns of how each spouse is going to respond to the different dynamics of life and marriage. And one of the easy ways to look at what your dance might be as a couple type is that if you go to becomingus.com, we have a link there to get your free personalized marriage plan, and you and your spouse can take a brief assessment, put in your Enneagram types, and we'll show you in, I think it's seven areas, what your dance looks like, from core desires, family of origin, communication, conflict, becoming your best selves together. And I'm missing a couple, Beth.
That's amazing.
So we actually give you an introduction to it, but here's how the dance works. So if you think of an infinity loop and where the two circles cross, that's the incident. And that incident could be the dishwasher didn't get unloaded to a child getting injured and being in the hospital. Mm-hmm. Whatever the incident may be, that's the circumstance. And then spouse one is on one side, spouse two is on the other. And the first thing is to recognize as a spouse, I think and feel according to my Enneagram type. That's happening below the surface of my heart. So I have an interpretation. That interpretation justifies or it seems reasonable to me to respond or act in particular ways. So my my feelings about it and my actions in response to my feelings contributes to the original incident. The other spouse then interprets or experiences it according to their type. So they have thoughts and feelings internally that lead to certain ways of responding to your spouse. And then that's how the dance, if you think of the infinity loop, goes around and around and around we go. But like Beth was saying earlier, that when our hearts are at rest with the truth of who Christ is for us, then my responses to whatever I may face in my marriage and my family and my career, my relationships, changes. And the simple principle is what we know from 1 John 4. We love because Christ first loved us. And so I'm not going to be able to love my spouse unless my heart is at rest with Christ's love for me. And so to give you a brief example, Beth and I, this is probably around year 15. We had the same arguments that led to the same dynamic for years. No matter what the topic was in this particular argument, I don't even remember the topic, but it started in the kitchen.
They usually do.
That's right. Things started to escalate. And for me, I was feeling unsafe. And my fear is that at some point, Beth is going to leave me. It's not true. It's not something that Beth has ever said or even remotely hinted at. But I brought a fear to this. And so I start to see, as my emotions start to escalate, the tension starts to escalate, my type 9 spouse starts to withdraw. And when it gets to a certain point, she removes herself from the situation. And in this one, she moved from the kitchen to the bedroom. Well, I'm the anxious pursuer. So I go running after my wife, and we're going to deal with this now in the privacy of our bedroom. But she's running and I'm chasing.
Yeah.
And the more intensity I brought, the more she would disengage. Until eventually I realized, as I was about to leave the room once again, and for me, I have done a lot of harm by slamming doors. And, you know, this was almost 10 years ago for us. And so we've been doing this for, like I said, 15 years. But in this one moment, I stopped. As if the Spirit just kind of gave me a check, an insight as to what was happening. And I just turned to Beth and asked, are you going to leave me? So although I'm trying to connect with her, my biggest fear in this moment is that this is the beginning of the end. I've really screwed up this time.
Wow.
And Beth responds with, no, silly, I would never leave you. And it woke me up.
But I didn't say it that nicely. I didn't say silly.
I think I've heard you tell this story, and I'm pretty sure that wasn't the word she used.
No, it wasn't.
That's right.
It's more like, hey, stupid.
He just made you sound a whole lot nicer.
Well, and here's the thing. Like, for a type 9, I don't want to like assert strong wording like that, but it hit me, you know, in the face so hard because it was so opposite of my desires, and everything I strived to offer him was that I love you, that we're good, I'm committed to you, I'm loyal. And for him to live in a world that's hardwired as his type, that he thinks that it might be the opposite, was just like, I can't believe this. So it came out strong because it's like, no, that is so not what's happening. And so my bluntness was actually really helpful for him because I wasn't being, you know, all nice and pretentious or anything like that. It was like just blunt. And it helped him to realize, wow, the things that he thought were happening aren't happening. And he doesn't have to bring that hardwired fear from his type into our relationship. Now, of course, it still pops up, but he can use that as what we call as a rumble strip, like on the highway, you know, that warns you that you're veering off course. He can use that. Oh, wait, I'm feeling like she's, you know, abandoning me, but that's not what's happening because we've had this conversation. Now he can ask clarifying questions, and we can talk about the fear. But it's so much better now that it's like, oh, wait, that's not what's probably true here. Let me get clarity. And for me to recognize, wow, that is a deep-seated fear for him. Now when I, as a type 9, need some space to process and think and go away for a little bit, I can let him know, I need some space and time. Can you give me 15 minutes and then we can address this again? Because otherwise, if you address it right in the moment with me, it's probably not going to go well. But then I need to come back and not avoid the conflict. And so that gives us now language so I can meet him where his needs are and to settle his fears that I'm just abandoning him. But I also can get more of what I need in the same time. So that is kind of what we learned in that dynamic.
So just to summarize, the four steps to prevent, to use conflict as opportunity to connect is, whatever the incident may be, number one is to name or describe what it is that I'm thinking and feeling internally. Number two, to reflect on how I react to what I'm thinking and feeling. Number three is to ask your spouse what they're thinking or feeling internally. And number four, how they are responding based upon what they're thinking and feeling, so that you're able to transcend the patterns and be able to interact in a new way versus going down that same pattern that's always run you into the same wall, the same rut that you've always been in.
And two of the things that you're doing in that process with those four steps is you're doing two things, really. Number one, you're helping us come to a place where we're being mindful of the moment. In other words, mindful of my own emotion and why am I... what I'm feeling and why I'm feeling that way, and mindful of what my spouse is feeling and why he or she's feeling that way. And
that's right.
So you're increasing mindfulness or awareness in the moment, and you're increasing that sense of emotional intelligence that we are interacting in a way that it's not just about our own stuff, you know, and my own longing, but there's another human in here who also has a story and has a longing that needs to be met. And all of a sudden, I think at least this is how it's played out in our marriage. When I started to see that Christy had a longing that needed to be met, I realized she wasn't my enemy anymore. I was seeing her now as a teammate. And you know how Proverbs, you know, it says to guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. I think in marriage, we have one flesh. We are one flesh. We have one heart. And this is a really great framework for how to guard our marital heart, for me to guard her heart and also help point her to Jesus in her deepest longing and not provoke that longing.
Yes.
So good. So, okay. So great framework there. And if you need to hit that 15 or 30 second backward button to go write those down, I would encourage you to do that. This episode is brought to you by the Famous at Home Family Journey.
Is your marriage slowly drifting apart? Do work and travel pull you away from those that you love, creating tension at home?
Or maybe you feel like your family takes a back seat to the stage you work on.
But what if we told you it doesn't have to be that way, that you can be famous at home and thrive on your stage?
That's why we offer the Famous at Home Family Journey. It's a 2 to 3 month personalized coaching journey that's tailored to your marriage and family. We coach spouses to reconnect and to fight for one another using principles of emotional safety.
And we coach your family how to set values that lead to your family living on purpose and growing closer together.
Schedule a call with us by visiting famousathome.com/coaching. That's famousathome.com/coaching. And then the third secret to connection.
Beth, are you going to take this one?
Oh, yeah. Sorry. So there are 5 simple words that you can use to kind of get yourself out of a possible fight or conflict that can derail. And you can do this silently, even if your spouse isn't really wanting to participate with the Enneagram or things that you've got going on internally. So what we want people to do, and what the Enneagram really helps us with, is becoming aware. And that's the acronym that we want to use, AWARE, A-W-A-R-E. And the first word of the 5 words is awaken. We want you to awaken to the circumstance that is activating your thoughts, feelings, behaviors, and body sensations inside you. And that's really important because so much is happening when we get activated inside that we're usually not even aware of it. I know for me as a type nine, we 8s, 9s, and 1s are part of the gut triad, and we have a lot of gut sensations, and we can kind of misread them or not know what to do with them. But those are really important key factors for us. And so we encourage everyone to be very aware of even how their body is reacting to circumstances. It will make you aware of what's going on inside as well. Then the second word is welcome. And we want you to welcome first that you are God's beloved child and that he has taken care of everything. And so that you can welcome the circumstance without shame, self-condemnation, and fear, but you can start to experience the unconditional love and forgiveness and freedom that you have in Christ by looking at whatever is happening inside you the way it is and bringing it to Christ. And that's where it spills into the A, which is ask. And this is where you want to ask the Holy Spirit for clarity and understanding and feedback from others. And so that you can move towards in a direction that is healthiest for your personality type. And we want you to receive, which is the R, receive that you have your true identity in Christ, that you are beloved and cherished and all has been taken care of for you, which allows you to go into E, which is engage in who you really are in Christ, free and loved and cherished. And that, just going through that process when you're about ready to enter some kind of tension or conflict, grounds you and helps you to think more focused and keep your eyes fixated on Christ and how he can work in and through you versus just our simple reactions and reactivities. Jeff, do you have anything to add to that?
No, I know that for me, particularly like in that situation that I described earlier with Beth and I, that was really the process of what was happening inside of me as Beth and I were arguing that to awaken to this reality is that I fear abandonment. And I don't need to be ashamed of that fear. That fear has been with me for a very long time, and I need to treat myself with kindness. But also to recognize that I don't necessarily have to react to it. It's not real. It's a perception. It's an interpretation, and that I then had the opportunity to be able to communicate that to my spouse, but also to communicate that in prayer to the Lord. Like I need help here. I want to connect with you so that my heart comes to rest, that though no matter what I may face, you are never going to leave me nor forsake me. And by having that assurance, I'm able to engage with Beth in a new way that's based upon truth and not necessarily my perceptions.
And part of that is, so, you know, one of the things we talk about is when you're in the moment, when you're in the conflict, your fight, flight, and freeze is going off, and you're thinking of anything but the Bible verses that you've learned growing up and awakening and being aware in those moments. And so one of the things we talk about, like you said, Beth, is even just taking 15 minutes apart from one another for a moment to calm your brain, like to get to a place where you're mentally, mindfully in that moment to be able to process, okay, Lord, this is what you say about me. I can be kind to myself. Help me to be kind to my spouse in this moment and enter into his or her world as well. And I think that takes a lot of practice. I mean, these are yes, wonderful secrets that we need to practice on an ongoing basis to rewire our brains to get to a place where this is common language for us. What do you guys just kind of recommend there as it relates to even just kind of making this be a part of ingrained long-term growth in your marriage? I think awakening, I'm going to use that word awakening to our Enneagram type is a huge first step. And then creating that conversation with your spouse, but just getting that ongoing language in the home, I think would be helpful. Do you guys have any insights into that? Like get that long-term, like, growth in that long term, how do we keep going, you know, keep at it?
Yeah, you know, I appreciate your words there because we've been working on this since 2000.
19 years.
19 years. And, you know, even this morning before we jumped on a podcast, Beth and I were getting spun out again. And it's really hard. Beth sometimes refers to it like being upstream on a river where the current is stronger, where it's there's more depth, and you feel like you're trying to walk upstream. And because it's so hard, your body is telling you one thing, your thoughts are scattered and they're hard to get organized. And even the things that you know, it's hard to even access it in these moments. And so I think the general principle that has been the most helpful for us is what Paul says in Romans. He says it's the Lord's kindness that leads us to repentance. And providing a safe place to practice. Because these are, I mean, I just remember early on in marriage realizing when I got married, I had a little tool belt for relationships and I didn't have any tools in it. And even if I did, I probably wouldn't know how to use them. And over the years, I've had to find new tools for us to be able to use and relate. But knowing that I didn't have very many resources or skill or knowledge about what it would mean to be the husband that I always hoped that I would be or the father, it was recognizing that I'm learning and to be patient with the process. And so we've actually created worksheets for couples. In the beginning, it could be just referring back to the personalized marriage plan that I said earlier, where it's going to feel like training wheels where we're kind of telling you what types do in relationships. And then there are worksheets where you'll be able to capture in words and tangible ways what's happening. And then it becomes, it synthesizes with your world so that you're actually able to do it spontaneously. But that takes time and it takes a lot of practice.
Yeah.
So always remember, be kind. Be super kind with yourself. Be super kind with your spouse, because we're really trying to work out something that is very meaningful. And it's very sacred because we're dealing with core longings here that oftentimes we are scared for other people to acknowledge.
Wow. Thank you for putting it that way, Jeff, because I think that's super insightful for all of us. And where can we get that? I can put that in the show notes. Those worksheets, the framework to help people?
That's right. If you go to becomingus.com, you'll see the link to the personalized marriage plan. That's also going to come with a conversation guide, because oftentimes we don't have conversations like these. And in that conversation guide, there'll be a little helpful illustrations to talk through what you're learning and to do so in a way that's safe so you don't get spun out again in your normal habits of relating.
I love it. We'll put that in the show notes as well for you to download. I think the biggest thing that you left us there, Jeff, with is the sense that you're not going to get this perfectly. You're not going to do this perfectly. Your spouse isn't going to do it perfectly. And so there's the guilt-free drop. Even Jeff and Beth had their little tiff this morning. Christy and I will probably have one after we hang up here and we're done. and so, you know, we're broken humans, you know, in need of a savior, and we're constantly looking to him to become whole. And this is a helpful framework to be able to do that together. And I can't thank you enough for your time, sharing two episodes with us, and for all of the hard work you have put in, because I know the course, we're going to put this in the show note, the show notes as well, the course that you put together, the 45 different, courses on the different types of Enneagram marriages, and then the book itself, like the fruit that is going to come of this, I'm super excited about. And so thank you for all of your hard work and your time with us, because we're huge fans, and we believe this has been one of the most radical things for us in our marriage. So we want to share it with all of you and share them with all of you. So we'll put all of them in the show notes, guys. I want to say thank you again, and just also to both of you that this is to be continued. This won't be the last time you hear of them. So let us know your thoughts on the Enneagram as you hear this episode. Thank you both again for being with us. And until next week, remember that the greatest red carpet that you will walk is through your front door.
You are famous at home. We love you.
Thank you for listening to the Famous at Home podcast. If anything we said today hit home with you or resonated in such a way you want to share it with others, go find us on Instagram at Famous at Home and comment, share, tell others about today's episode.
We'd also love if you would leave us a review. Reviews mean so much to us, and they also help other people find out about the podcast. So if you could leave us a review, we would appreciate it.
You can also visit famousathome.com/podcast to submit a question or topic for a future episode.
And for coaching or speaking inquiries for your family or your organization, visit famousathome.com. We would love to serve you.
Because the greatest red carpet you'll ever walk is through your front door.